place in my heart to share with you today. What do you do when you feel unloved? What do you do when you don't know how to love? Fact is, some of us don't really know how to love. And then what do you do when you fail to love? There's some of us that fail at really loving each other. Fail to love our children. Fail maybe perhaps to love each other as God wants us to love each other. What do you do? I believe the Lord wants to fill us up. We need to get filled up today in order to flow out. Filled up to flow out. Filled up to flow out. Let's say it together. Filled up to flow out. One more time. Filled up to flow out. That's the key to love. We got to get filled up in order to flow out. And the fact is, some of us aren't filled up, so therefore we can't flow out. But God's able to fill us up today. And the Lord wants to fill you up today that you and I can be channels of His love. I believe that love is the greatest thing in all of the world, according to the Scriptures. Speaking of love, I love the little children, how they define about marriage. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, as you know, and this time you don't begin to think about things like that. Someone asked the question, how do you decide who you marry? And this little boy named Alan, at 10 years old, he said this. How do you decide who to marry? He said, you've got to find somebody who likes the same stuff like you do, like sports. And like your wife, if she likes sports, she ought to keep the chips and dips coming. That's what Alan said at the age of 10. One little girl named Kristen said, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. She said, God decides it all the way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. That's Kristen at the age of 10. Someone else said, what's the right age to get married? A little girl named Camille, age 10. She said, 23. 23 is the best age to get married. Why? She said, because then you know them forever, you know, at the age of 23. Anyway, someone else asked the question, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? That is, if you're going to a store or whatever, how can they tell if you're married, a couple married? Derek, at the age of 8, said, you might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same children or not. Somebody said, what do you think about your mom? What do your mom and your dad have in common? A little girl named Lori, 8 years old, said, both don't want to have any children anymore. That's what they had in common. One person asked, what do most people do on a date? A little girl named Lynn said this. She's 8 years old. What do most people do on a date? Said, dates are for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. Yeah, right. And then someone asked the question, on the first date, what should you do? A little boy named Martin, 10 years old, said on the first date, they just tell each other lies that usually get them interested enough to go to a second date. That's what Martin said. And then Pam, not this Pam, but another Pam, 7 years old, was asked the question, when is it okay to kiss someone? Pam said, when they're rich. It's all right to kiss them when they're rich. It's all right to smile, by the way. I'm looking out the crowd, and some of you are stressed to the max. So you do you some good smile. It might lower your blood pressure, all right? Anyway, is it better to be single or married? And a little girl named Anita, age 9, said this. It's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. And that's what we need. And then the number one favorite was this. How would you make a marriage work? Ricky, age 10, said this. How do you make a marriage work? Ricky said, tell your wife she looks pretty, even if she looks like a dump truck. All right. Not bad, all right. Hey, here's where we're going in the message today. What do you do with love? What do you do with love? And I believe there's three reasons that we need to get filled up in order to flow out. Get filled up in order to flow out. Three reasons. Number one, love turns obstacles into opportunities. Love turns obstacles into opportunities. Number two, love releases the hurt, the pain of the past, and reaches out to restore relationships. Number three, love, by the way, is a work in progress. How many believe and how many agree with me that love is a work in progress? Not perfection, but purposing to pursue and purposing to press on with God's presence and God's power. We're looking at a man today that learned how to from love, and I believe the Lord's got a word for us today. If you'll let God speak to you, and if you'll be honest with the Lord, some of you want to play games, and some of you want to pretend like everything's okay, you're perfect in your relationships. Well, you can't get into hell, but I can't get into hell as long as we think that we've got the right kind of relationship that God wants us to have. But when we get to the place where we say, Lord, I know you've got a better plan. I know you've got a better purpose. I know that I'm really not exactly where you want me to be in my relationships with my loved ones as well as others around. And so we're looking today at an Old Testament passage in the book of Judges, chapter 11. Hey, your Bibles, please, and turn to Judges 11. If you would, stand with me as we read Judges chapter 11. As we read this first part of Judges 11, let me remind you that the background of Judges 11 is God's people have already marched across the Red Sea. They've gone into Canaan, as we looked at last week under Joshua, and now God has told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land. But consequently, they did not, and thus they suffered the consequence of that by intermarrying and by committing idolatry. Thus, God raised up judges to bring the people back when they fell into captivity and into sin. We come to Judges chapter 11. I don't know if you've ever heard a message on the man Jephthah or not. I went to preach it one time in the last 23 years here at the Iraqi Creek a number of years ago. But it's not the same message as today. But the Lord led me to this passage. I believe God's got something for us today. We began in the chapter 11 and verse number 1 of the book of Judges. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of battle. He was a son of a harlot, notice. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead evidently was his father. Now here we see in verse 1 that this man is born of a harlot. Josephus says the name Jephthah means the breakthrough. Certainly we can see a breakthrough that occurs in Jephthah's life in just a moment. But we continue reading in verse number 2. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Now the word harlot and the word strange has to do with Zona, is a Hebrew word. If it was used the word Kodesha, it would mean a temple prostitute. Bottom line was, Jephthah's mama was a harlot. Get the picture. All right, verse 3. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there he gathered vain men, some translation puts it worthless men, to Jephthah, and he went out with him. They went out with him. The word vain men has to do with no purpose, some even say no property, worthless men, and yet he had to find a living, and thus this band of men gathered together as a fighting force with Jephthah. Hold that thought. We'll come back to it. Verse 4. And it came to pass, I want you to underline that in your Bible. It came to pass. Why do I want you to underline that in your Bible? Because some of us are going through some trials and tests right now, but I came to tell you today, this thing will pass. It came to pass in process of time. Notice that. Process of time. God's time clock is ticking. And that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war with Israel, against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah. That's a good southern term, isn't it? Go fetch Jephthah. They went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come, and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did you not hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now, when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore, we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us to fight against the children of Ammon, and to be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them, notice the Lord deliver them, unto them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not sow according to thy word. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now, this, we're going to stop right there. I just want to draw your attention to one other verse, and that's verse 29. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And then, may I draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Jephthah is listed in the Hall of Faith of Heroes in Hebrews 11, verse 32. Father, thank you for the word of God. I praise you, Lord. You've got a word for me today. You've got a word for us today. And I pray now for breakthroughs, not only in Jephthah's life, but in our lives. Oh, Father, we need heaven's help today. And we thank you that you are well able. You are more than able, Father, to tear down the walls the enemy has tried to erect in our lives and our loved ones. We pray, God, you fill us up today that you might flow out of us in a lost, a hurting world, in a world, dear God, that needs to know you love them, you care. And Father, we thank you now for the blood of the Lamb, the power of the cross. We thank you for your word. We bless you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, how you've spoken to my heart through this passage of Scripture and how you're going to change us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. We love you, Lord. I love you and praise you for your great love for me. Lord, I don't understand how you can love me the way you do, but you do. And I want to say I love you too, Father, because of your great love for me. And so, Lord, we're asking you to meet the deepest need of every heart. And Father, give us grace to love you back and to love each other back and our families. And oh, Father, just do what needs to get done today, and we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're looking today at these three particular reasons why you and I need to get filled up in order to flow out. Get filled up in order to flow out. Number one, if you'll notice in verses 1 through verses 3, you'll notice that love turns obstacles into opportunities. Love turns obstacles into opportunities. And then number 2, we'll find in verses 4 through verse 12, then we're going to find that love releases the hurt and the pain of rejection and reaches out to restore relationships. I believe there's some of us today that don't really have a proper relationship with our loved ones. You don't have to answer that question. I know for a fact many of us are having difficulty loving each other. I believe today God is going to help us by His Holy Spirit to overcome and to turn these obstacles into opportunities. Number one, notice with me again in verse 1 through 3. In verses 1 through 3, Jephthah was a Gileadite. He was a mighty man of battle. What does that tell you about Jephthah? And he was the son of Ahiman, and Gilead had begot Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him son. And he had other brothers. And his wife's sons grew up. Look what they did to him. They thrust out Jephthah. They thrust him out. They kicked him out. They said, you're no part of this family anymore. Keep reading. And they said to him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and he went out with them. Now, verses 1 through 3. I want you to get this map up here. If you would bring up that map, please, in the back, Chase. And here's my thought. Where in the world, I'm sorry that it's not very big, it was the best map I could find, and I wanted to know where in the world is this place called Nob that Jephthah went to. Well, if you'll notice, you can't see this map very good. I'll just point out some key landmarks and then demonstrate, since I don't have a very big map. But you'll notice right here, scroll down on this map just a little bit if you would. Thank you. This is the Dead Sea right here. All right, scroll back. You can see Ammon right there and to the right. And then scroll back down, please, Chase. Scroll back up, please. I meant up instead of down. Right up here to your far north would be Tob. Scroll down a little bit God would be up there. Here's Canaan over here to the left. There you go. Thank you. There it is right there. I want to know from logistics. I mean, I'm a, visual type of person. I believe many of you here are. So here's the deal. This man named Jephthah, let me just say this first as we get into this passage of Scripture. Jephthah is a judge for about 6 years. And he is would be to your left of that man. But because of his brothers, they ejected him out of the house. We don't want you around. You're a black sheep of the family. You're a loser. You're born to lose. You're born on the wrong side of the tracks. And so forth and so on. Strike two against Jephthah. Get out of here. You don't get any inheritance of your father. And because you were born of a harlot mother, you get the picture, don't you? So, consequently, Jephthah leaves his homeland, and Gilead is right on the map, too. Do you see where Gilead's at? Look to your left, right there. Thank you, right there. And so Jephthah moves on. He moves on. Now, let me just clarify a couple of things, and then we're going to go further in the message. Number one, these are Ammonites, and then you see Ammonites, Amorites, and Moabites are mentioned. If we're looking at the map right there, if you scroll down, you'll see Ammon is right there. See it in the green? And then scroll down a little further, you'll see where Moab is. The Moabites, they're actually east of the Dead Sea. If you were to go further down the map, you'd find Edom, the Edomites. Why am I saying this? First of all, let me just define and distinguish between the Ammonites and the Amorites. Have you ever studied that without going into too much detail? The Ammonites happened to be a descendant of Lot. Remember Lot, he had two daughters. He had this incestuous relationship with his oldest daughter. But they got him drunk, and the oldest daughter, and she became pregnant. Next thing you know, she has a son named Ammon, and then the younger daughter does the same and has a son named Moab. The Ammonites are descendants of Lot, and here is the Ammonites. All right, secondly, the Amorites are different than the Ammonites. The Amorites, some of you asked me about this times past. I know this is a little deep, but I know unless you study your Bible, this might not make a whole lot of sense to you. But the Ammonites, on the other hand, are descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham, remember after the flood, Ham had a son, Canaan, and Canaan's descendants were the Amorites. By the way, we've done a study on the giants of the land. There are those who say the Amorites were actually giants. Notice that was after the flood. We studied about the Son of God, the daughters of men, in the book of Genesis chapter 6. And so simply, I thought it was interesting the fact that the Amorites were considered to be giants. Well, you can do the research yourself. All right, having said that, here this man, first of all, you'll notice real love turns obstacles into opportunities. What do I mean? Two thoughts. Number one, the devil, don't you know, was out to try to ruin Jephthah. How many ever felt rejected? Don't raise your hand. How many ever felt like an outcast? Don't raise your hand. How many of you right now feel insecure? Or maybe you don't feel really loved. Or maybe you had trouble loving. Or maybe you have telling someone that you love and you have trouble with that. I don't know what your situation is. But I know this, obstacles to turn into opportunities. Don't you know the devil said to Jephthah, look, it's your fault. You're born of a harlot. Can you imagine coming from a home like that? Can you imagine in modern day vernacular or modern day terminology, if you went to school, people probably made fun of you in today's society. You're born of a harlot. Why, you've got some stepbrothers that are of your father, but you don't have the same mother as those half-brothers. Really, half-brothers is what they would be. Your father's the same father, but you got a different mother, and you were born from a harlot. Get the picture what Jacob must have gone through in his life. Am I preaching to somebody today that you've been through some stuff in your life? Oh, yeah. Am I speaking to somebody today? You might not be in the same circumstances as Jephthah, but some things have happened to you in your life. Matter of fact, our own record is saying probably all of us here have had something that happened to us in our lives nonetheless, he became a leader. Are you listening to me today? Aren't you glad that we can turn the obstacles the devil puts in our way into opportunities? Somebody will say amen. You didn't get that. I said we can turn the obstacles in my way. There may be some obstacles in your life today, but God can turn them into opportunity if we'll let him, as we see in the case of Jephthah. Now, as we progress in this particular account, the devil, no doubt, was saying this to Jephthah, I think, in my own mind. Like he's probably saying to some of us. Why? You don't have to listen to God. Why? You don't have to believe in God. Why? If you'll just serve me, if you'll just let me have your life, I will bless you. I will make you prosperous. I, says the devil, will provide for you. I will do things nobody else can do. I'll give you everything you want. I don't know what I'm talking about. The enemy lies to us and tells us that he wants to take care of us, but he's a liar. How do you know that the devil is a liar? How do you know that the devil, he is a deceiver, and there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I believe right now the enemy is trying to deceive many of us. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have to listen to the enemy because God rules. The devil may think he's ruling, but God overrules. How do we get to God overrules? God overrules. I came to tell you today, God is in control. He's in charge. Bless his holy name. And you know what? Hey, beloved, this is what it's all about. That I imagine the enemy was trying to really, really bring down Jephthah. How many today would say, you know, Pastor, man, I'm going through some stuff right now. As a matter of fact, I look back on my life, and I see a whole bunch of junk has happened to me. And, you know, it's obstacle after obstacle. Matter of fact, right now, I've just been going through all kinds of turmoil, all kinds of trouble. I've got this issue. I've got that issue. This relationship isn't liking on me. This thing, I can't fix it. Pastor, I don't know what to do, but I came to tell you today, God can turn the obstacles into opportunity like he did in the case of Jephthah. Amen. And amen, amen. Isn't it odd that the devil thinks that he can outrule God? Speaking of being odd, I heard about a man that said that he was named Odd as a baby. Now, how many of you know somebody named Odd? I don't know anybody named Odd, O-D-D. But this man was absolutely disgusted about the fact that people would call him Odd. That's his name. He said to his wife, and he was married for a number of years, at the time of his death, he said, do not put my name on the tombstone, my epitaph. Don't put my name Odd on that tombstone. I don't want anybody to know my name. I don't want anybody to say my name. All I want is the date of birth and the date of death. That's all I want on my tombstone. Well, she carried through when it came for him to die, and she went to that marker and made that marker with his date of birth and his date of death. By the way, it is appointed when man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. And I, he's going to be here, but wait a minute. People would walk by that tombstone, and guess what they would say? They said, look, there's the date of birth. There's the date of death. I don't see a name. That's odd. That's strange. You know, that's odd. So sometimes we can't get away from the fact that the devil is a liar, and it is strange that the enemy is lying to us today. It is odd that the enemy thinks that it will serve him. By the way, if you're saved today, the devil doesn't care about know, and you've heard me share many times, I don't think any of you have gone through various issues in a child, in our childhood. I don't think any of you have gone through some traumatic trials in your life. Perhaps even now you're in a trial. But I want you to know what the devil means for evil. God can be for good. Love fills up in order to flow out. Fills up in order to flow out. It was in about the year 1974. I remember getting my dad bombed, sick, we're divorced, sick, we're not living together anymore. Those of you that have gone through that kind of home life know what it's like. I rebelled against God. I grew angry toward God. Oh, not outwardly, but inwardly. And many of you perhaps have come from a broken home as well. I don't know what your story is, but I assure you, all of us have something in our life that we can attribute to the enemy trying to ruin us. Say amen. Every one of us had something. You said, oh, my parents didn't want to go back. That's good. Bless God. But probably you did some things that you regret you've ever done. Say amen. You've done some things that you regret you've ever done. You've lived a way that you regret you ever lived. Regardless of whether you come up broken home or not. Still, the enemy, even now, is seeking, trying to deceive us, mislead us, wreck our testimony, make us feel so proud that we don't need God instead of being humble and broken at the feet of Jesus. All right. Number two. Not only are obstacles turned into opportunities, but number two. Notice, real love fills up and real love flows out. Jephthah had a choice. All right? What is he going to do? He's ejected, yea, rejected by his brother. But real love, watch this, releases. Here, I'm preaching to somebody, if you'll just get it. If I'll just get it, if we'll just receive the incorruptible, indestructible word, not just in our head, but in our heart. Is there anybody here that's going to receive this word today? Is there anybody here that the ground is piled up in your heart? That you're saying, God, speak to my heart. God, plant the indestructible, incorruptible seed of the word of God, which is able to build us up. Is there anybody here that says, Lord, my mind is totally in allegiance and attention to you, what you've got to say to me today? Lord, is there anybody here today that will say, Father, whatever anybody else does, I don't know, and it really doesn't matter, but God, what you want me to do about the word is teaching me and preaching to me today, God, I'm purposing in my heart, I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. I'll tell you, brother and sister, if you cross that bridge, hallelujah, it's a happy day. It's a happy day. Are you going to follow through on what God says to you today? I believe you will, and you'll be blessed of it. Praise his holy name. Number two. Releases love. God, I need you to fill me up. How many today need God to fill you up? Don't raise your hand. Oh God, I need you to fill me up. Can I be honest with you? Every single one of us need God to fill us up. Every single day. Amen. Every single day. Why? Some of us today, we've been out of gone through rejection or hurt, but you might be the very one that's hurting everybody around you. Hello. You might be the one that's being a devil and being one used in the devil's hand to be ugly, to be mean. Some of church people can be the meanest people. Say amen. I'm telling the truth. You see, you might not have gone through stuff, but you might have. But we don't have to get better. We can get better. But real love, as Lord, fill me up that I might flow out. Real love releases the hurt and the pain of rejection and, watch this, reaches out to restore relationship. Hey, Jephthah could have said, them dirty brothers, I'm about to go back in hell. No way, Jose. Do you notice what the text says in verse 4? Look what the text says in verse 4. He says, and it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. God's clock is ticking. It's ticking in your eyes right now. You're where you're at right now. Not by having a chance. God's time clock. You're where you're at. I'm where I'm at because in the process of time, we go through things in life. How many know we go through things in our life? But they're not meant to ruin us. They're meant to bless us. And God wants us to
bottled it up, you pressed it down, you suppressed it, you become numb at it, you've gone through some stuff but you haven't dealt with it then, and you just need to deal with it. You need to let it out. You need to let it go. You need to move on with God. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. God's a good God, and we've got to let go. We've got to release the hurt and the pain of rejection. Release the hurt and the pain of the rejection and the hurts of the past. And then watch this. Watch this. Not only release the hurt and the pain, but watch this. Reach out. Reach out. That's what we're not good at. We can let stuff go. But then we say, bless God, I've been hurt once. I'm not going to get hurt again. I've been hurt once. I'm going to feel the wall. And I'm not going to get close to anybody else because I don't want to get hurt anymore. I don't have to deal with this rejection. I don't have to deal with this hurt. I don't have to deal with this pain. Oh, God says real love. That's why we need to get filled up in order to pull out. Real love reaches out. It not only releases that hurt, watch this, it reaches out to restore relationships. How do you know that if you can reach out to somebody that's hurt you, you know it's got to be of God. It's got to be of God. And some of us today need to just do that. We just need to say, Lord, I have had trouble about this thing of reaching out. I can't reach out. But that's what Jephthah did. They said, Jephthah, the process of time, God's time clock. Time is ticking, and Jephthah, come and help us, Jephthah. We're in trouble. The Ammonites are attacking us. We need somebody to help us. Don't you know Jephthah would have been bitter? He said, forget that. Don't you all look at me? I'm not about to come and help you. May the Ammonites kill every one of them. He didn't say that, did he? He said, all right. I think the Lord had a healing of his life. You don't know that. He knew the scriptures. You keep in your reading in verse chapter 11 of the book of Judges, you'll find out he understood some of the Old Testament principles. Evidently, he'd been reading the scripture. And not only that, but evidently, he depended upon the Lord. He said, the time of God, the process of God. Look down in verse number 9. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? The Lord is going to deliver them. Jephthah depended on the Lord. I wouldn't have known if I wouldn't have read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 22. The Bible lists Jephthah as one of the Hall of Faith of Heroes. I know I haven't got to the part of the conclusion of chapter 11 that many of you are wondering about, namely the daughter and Jephthah making a vow to his daughter. Hold that thought. We'll come to it in a moment, all right? First, you need to know, don't get ahead. Don't try to get ahead, God. Do what God's telling you to do now. Don't get ahead and try to wonder what happened with Jephthah and his daughter and all that. Wait a minute. Let's just do what God's telling us now, and that is releasing the hurt and then restoring relationships with those that hurt. Lord deliver us. Not long ago, I was told that it's been some time ago. I don't know what it feels like to be rejected. Someone said something about me back some time ago. I don't know that I wonder how anybody could ever say anything about Brother Pastor, amen? But it happened. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was meeting a family, and I went to this particular family, and I went to this particular individual in the family, not knowing me, the claim was wrong. I reached out my hand to shake their hand. They looked at me like, eat dirt. I'm not about to shake your hand. Have you ever had anybody do that? Have you ever had anybody do that? That hated your guts? Have you ever had anybody that hated your guts? Probably a lot of us may not have had. But anyway, it can't happen. And I'm going to forget. I would reach their hand to shake this guy. They've never seen. I would reach their hand to shake another guy. And they gave me this eat dirt look too. Well, what do you do when somebody gives you eat dirt look? You don't shake your hand, right? I don't forget. I look and I thought, what in the world's going on? What have I done to you? I don't know if anything I've done, really honestly. And apparently, there's some misunderstanding, miscommunication, although I didn't know at the time. I went and told my wife then, after I had that encounter, I said, yeah, you know what happened, blah, blah, blah. You know what she said? She said, everybody don't like you. I mean, that's the air I can say that. I mean, well, that'll bless you. Everybody don't like you. You know what I'm saying? Well, I said, well, bless God, I don't like anybody either. All right? So, you know what she said? And I thought about her singing, he touched me. She said to me this. She said, everybody don't think you hang the moon like hung the moon like your super did. All right? I said, well, bless God, I didn't hang the moon, but maybe one star. All right? No, can flow out. Some of us are stopped up today. There's not going to be a flow of the Holy Ghost power. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you say you pray. I don't care how much you say you go to church. If you don't get that unstopped, the bitter spirit, or that unforgiving spirit, or that resentment in your heart, if that doesn't come out of you somehow or another, there's going to be a block. There's not going to be that flow of Holy Ghost power. We've got to deal with the issues, and the devil knows how to trip us up, and the enemy knows how to put people in our life to try to get us angry, to get us out of the will of God, to get us our eyes off of Jesus.
And so, number three, real love.
How many of you have got some love ones like that? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. God, the Holy Ghost has already put his finger on that exact situation. You've got loved ones, you've got sons, daughters, you've got grandchildren, you've got loved ones, you've got things that are happening in your family. You can't fix them. I can't fix them. But God can fix them, praise God. What do you do about love? How do you deal with this thing? How do you deal with this thing? The world says how to be mad or evil, but God doesn't say that. We got to let the thing go and then seek by the Spirit of God to restore the relationship. Jesus said, I'm coming back, but I am going to be the judge over this land. You know how that particular story unfolded. Now, quickly, number three. Have you believed and agreed with me that love does not mean perfection? We are not perfected. And the fact is, our loved ones aren't perfect. We're not perfect. And thus, the sooner we conclude that, the better off we are. If we got this idea of everybody's got to live up to our expectations or everybody's got to live up to our perfection, we are in for a rude awakening. Everybody can't live up to my or your expectation. Everybody can't live up to our perfection. And the fact is, we just need to do business with God and say, Lord, maybe it's me. Maybe my expectations and perfection are getting in the way. Watch that. Then he goes and says, God, I make a vow. Whatever comes out of my house, and I don't have time to go into this too much other than say this. He said, whatever comes out of my house, I'll give it to you as a sacrifice. Some say he was bringing an animal. Some say he wasn't bringing his daughter. Nonetheless, his daughter comes out. He said, she's the first one that comes out. Paganism meant that they would offer their child or a person up as a burnt offering, as in dying, as in burning them to death. Some believe that that's what happened with Jephthah's daughter at the conclusion of the story. I don't know, but I have a little difficulty there. Number one, the fact that he's named in the Hall of Heroes of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. One problem. Number two, the Word of God didn't say she ever was burnt as a sacrifice. The terminology is that he would offer a sacrifice. Number three, he, and if you read the text, you can read it later, the fact that she was a virgin, and that some suggest that that was the sacrifice that she was to remain in her virginity the rest of her life and thus not have any children, we don't really know, and we can only speculate. But at any rate, Jephthah did what God told him to do. He was filled up and he blew out. But it's not what's working, as you see, even in the case of his daughter, regardless of which view you take. Still, his love was not perfected. Now, I've got to conclude because my time is gone. Today, as you think about your life and your family and your relationships with people, what do you do about love? I've got a feeling we play too many games when it comes to the church and Christianity. We tolerate people that we ought to, but it's not really love. It's not really genuine love. And I believe today the Lord is wanting to do a fresh work in my heart and your heart. It's hard to love other people if we don't. Somebody came up to me yesterday, the last week, I believe it was Brother John, and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's true that if you hadn't forgiven, if God's not forgiven you for sins, the great love God has for us, how can we love anybody else? Maybe today the first step you need is to receive God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's stand together, can't we?